Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, William.
How are you?
I'm actually having a great time. How are you?
I'm having a great time, too. A really good morning.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. That's great news.
Yes, it's really good. You know, sometimes teaching teaching the youth of the world is an up and down road, you know, or up and down roller coaster.
Yes.
And so we had a really good day Monday and a really bad day Tuesday. And an okay Thursday, and then today was fantastic. So I really had a good time.
Oh,
actually, much to Max had this idea. He wanted to do favorite Fridays.
Oh, okay.
So everybody brought their own thing they wanted to talk about today. It was pretty cool.
That is
some
cool.
Songs, some different talks, some thoughts on some scripture and some. It was pretty cool. It was really neat. It turned out way. I was nervous about it. And but it turned out really well.
So I have one of the subjects that I texted in we should talk about today is related to that. I don't actually have a fully formed thought on it, so we'll see if a fully formed thought comes out of
it'll come
as we're talking about it. But I so historically, Max's great gift compared to he has some special gifts, but he's a lot like our other sons, a lot. There's one thing that I've noted is different, which is when I give Max notes, like, hey, Max, you should do this and this differently. Max takes notes and then never forgets them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So the only difference between him and my other sons when it comes to like making movies or trailers or whatever is his willingness to listen and apply notes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. It's just learning, basically, right?
Right.
But lately... So this is the unformed thought. So he's got his mission call, and he's going to go to a place that I feel like I know something about, just because I don't know, culturally I know a little bit. I had a kind of a similar place where I served my mission, and I'm trying to give him these notes in advance. I'm
right.
Just like, hey, think about this, think about that. Here's little Spanish tricks. Like, I'm trying to give him these notes.
Right.
And he's just not interested.
Right. Not absorbing.
He's not absorbing it at all. And this is not what I'm used to. And I think that the note that I wrote into you that we're going to talk about was the great handoff, which is I think he's detached already. I think he has sailed. He's sailed away. He's for sure sailed past me, by the way. I'm not suggesting that, but like, he's not looking for notes right now. He's like, he's arming for battle, and he has a little bit of pre-battle agitation, and he's not looking for notes from Dad right now.
I think there's a I call it filing cabinet syndrome.
Okay.
And you're like, what's that? Well, so you know, I've trained a lot of people at doing a lot of different things over the years.
Yeah.
You know, and even with what I do now, I've trained a lot of people, and I've done it different ways, where we would have like a whole week or 2 weeks worth of training, and then you do the job.
Yeah.
And then I've done it the other way, where you do some of the job and then you have the training.
That's right.
And that's the better way. And the reason I found that is because you can give them lots of advice lots of stuff, but there's no filing cabinet to put it in.
Yeah.
Right? The filing cabinet's experience. So he has...
I think you're right.
Yeah. He has no idea what's coming for him, right?
He doesn't.
You know, and I know. He
and
has
me
no
giving
idea.
Him notes is just agitation because he doesn't have a filing. So these papers are just strewn around the room.
Yeah. So you're cluttering the system.
I am. Well,
but the thing is that different from... you and I's experience as missionaries, right? Because you called home, what, twice a year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I called home twice a year. Now we can talk weekly. And I know that Lucas had downloads, basically, right? You'd have those moments.
For sure.
So you're going to have moments where he has the filing cabinet, he pulls it open, says, I need something right there.
Well, and it's funny you should say that, because this is actually the only time. So I told you that the difference between Max and my other kids is that he listens, right? Well, our first son, Josh, was not looking for advice ever
right.
from me. Now, it makes him sound like he's some sort of ne'er-do-well.
No, he's just very...
No, he's a good kid. He just wanted to do it by himself. You
right.
know what I'm saying? But the first time ever was like a letter home. It was, hey, Dad, I'm experiencing this in the mission. I think you know something about it. Can you give me some advice? And I was like,
what?
But ever since then, until somewhat recently, actually, he has listened. Now, it's been like 4 years, 5 years. He's asked for advice and takes it, right? So I think similarly, like Max will be somewhere in his mission and he'll be like, now I want to know what you were saying about that one thing.
Yeah,
you know
he'll be, well, he's just got nowhere to put it. Yeah, I do that too. Someone told me, I was listening to somebody in this, and this actually applies to what we're saying. The sometimes you have a kid or you have an opportunity, whether it's your own child or someone else's, and you just feel like there's a vessel there I need to fill.
Okay. Right?
Let me fill it full of information and take it with you, you know, and hopefully they'll have a canteen and they can sip it. But I heard recently is like, stop looking at what you're teaching as your students as vessels to fill.
Oh.
Start looking at them as matches to light.
Okay.
Now, Max is lit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that in this current colloquial way.
This makes it sound like I'm sad that he won't take my advice. I mean, a little, but it's different. It's not sad for the reasons you think. I'm not like, he really needs my advice. I'm like, he doesn't need my advice.
Right.
Like that's really right. Like he's a lit match.
Yeah, he's going.
He's going. And yeah,
it's fun to watch. It's really, really fun to watch, especially if you don't know, once you get your mission call, right? For your listeners out there that don't know, there's a point from the moment you get your mission call to the day you leave. And it is, it's a transformation that is really hard to explain.
Yeah.
It's like everything changes.
Yeah.
And you're like that little, it just everything changes. And it's really fun to watch. Now, of course, obviously from day one to the day, the last day of your mission, that's lots of change. But that first little section is like just weird because they go from being a high school kid.
No, you have to try to intellectually grok the idea that I am not like Josh said it like this when I talked to him when he was a missionary. He's like, you know, they go from not letting you do anything to asking you to do everything. That's how he described being a missionary.
Yeah.
because he was in a place where, you know, like sometimes he's in these little congregations in the jungle and no one knows how to do anything. And it's like, they look at the guy who came from America to tell him how to do stuff. And he's like, me? You know what I mean?
That's going to be awesome. Anyway. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's really good stuff. Hey, update on the, I've been, so autopilot.
Yeah.
Clark, the dreamy-eyed one, he turned his off within a couple of days. He hates it.
Okay.
He hates it that bad. He just turned it off.
All right.
He's like, I just like the free one that you're in a lane and it's safe. And I have decided, because you and I talked about it and I speculated.
Yeah.
Right? That
it was data collection.
That it's data collection.
And
you
said
you agreed you thought it was. And then you even sent me something. So not only is it data collection, but they have like an exponential curve. Like it went from...
This is a curve depicting the gathering of data and how it was inching up, and then there's this giant spike at the end, and that's, by the way, correlates with when they turned it on for everybody.
So Elon Musk is using AI to get this last percentage that makes it good.
Which we identified last week as 87% good.
Yeah, I'm going to take it down. It's less. It literally, my assessment of driving with a pretty skilled teenage driver, that's what it's like. But man, it does not know how to do LA traffic. It just doesn't know how. It can't merge.
It's weird because this has to be a huge part of their data.
Yeah, it can't merge. It's not very good at merging.
Yeah.
I mean, it does it, and it does it, I would say, without incident, so to speak.
No, but like,
but it isn't smooth. Let's be clear.
If you took a person, like, if there were 100 drivers from around America...
Yeah, they couldn't do it either.
...that were not from L.A.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you asked them to merge, and any one of the merges that I know you're talking about, which is southbound 405 on Burbank or whatever...
Yeah, yeah, where, yeah, exactly.
Right? Where, like, people... So people that don't know, what happens is people know that the off-ramp is coming up, and they get in the right-hand lane, and it forms a fully... flush line with bumper to bumper,
stacked
all the way for like a half a mile, like way, way, way back.
Right.
And then you realize, oh, that's my turnoff. Oh, crap, that's the line. Then you have a decision to make. And you blow past Burbank and come back to it, which is a 30-minute mistake. Or you freaking nose your nose in that.
You
gobble up a whole lane of people honking behind you.
Yep.
And you put your nose in that lane and say, I'm not leaving until someone lets me in. And you start, and then some guy menaces you while you force in, and it's like, you're going to hit me or you're going to stop. That's how you merge on Burbank, right?
And
you're asking, so 100 out of 100 came to California for the first time. I mean, it would take him days.
Yeah.
To get the courage to just be like, I'm coming in.
Yeah.
Right. So now you're saying that the robot can't do it. Well,
the robot doesn't do it.
I accept that.
Yeah. So actually, it's pretty cool though. It does. I've gotten to a habit. I figured out how, because the minute you take it out of autopilot, it says, hey, what, I already mentioned this, but hey, what did you do wrong? So now I've gotten to the point where like I can tell it what it's done wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm driving with it. I still conclude I would not purchase it for the current price. You sent me a text that said, someone said that, you know, if it were $99 a month, more people would buy it. I'd be more tempted at $99 a month, but I still wouldn't.
Have you ever had any good experiences? Have you ever been like,
it's fun. It's fun.
No, but I mean, like, has it been nice to not drive on city streets yet?
No.
Okay.
But I like driving, so it doesn't... It's the freeway driving that I really enjoy the autopilot on, but I do drive with it on autopilot to everything now.
Like
because I feel like I'm participating in the gathering of it.
Tesla stock is way down. Like I have some Tesla stock and I was way up for a while.
Yeah.
I'm still up, but I was way up for a while and it's way down. And some people are like, buy the dip because he's gonna figure out self-driving. He's gonna figure out robots. And he's going to license self-driving to other companies. It's basically a software AI company, if you think about it. And some people are like, it's trading $170. Some people are like, it's going to be $1,700 in the next 5 years, that kind of thing, right? And I can't decide because you're coming here telling me that, like, it's not good.
No. I mean, if you're asking me to buy, I would buy. For sure, it's going to be good. That's why I think this data collection is so. Look, AI functions on data.
Yeah,
and it's the volume of data.
I think it's interesting that he announced his robot taxi date for 8/8, because what is 8/8? It's like March, April, May, June, July, August. It's 6 months of data.
Well, supposedly it's only one. I mean, right now they're only releasing it for this month.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all that data is being fed into the system. So I think that it's going to get there. I don't have any doubt about that. That's why I said I'm driving with it because I want to be part of the solution.
All right.
I think it's going to be really cool, but it is fun. I would say I'm going to say it's not 87. It's more like 80 to 85. So let's say 83.5.
Okay. All right. So a couple things have happened in the last week. One, let's start with the good one.
Let's do it.
The weather has been such that for 2 or 3 days, I drove with the top down in my convertible.
Yeah, that ends today.
Yeah, it does.
It rains tomorrow.
Rains tomorrow. But man, that's a good time. This is a good time because I don't drive that much. So driving for me is a twofold. It's getting from point A to point B, but it's also like this is the only time Randy's been out of the house in the last 3 days, and it feels great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good times.
It has been. The weather's been perfect. It's perfect really California weather.
It was 80 degrees yesterday, which, you know, 78 degrees, I think, is the perfect get things done weather. 80 degrees is the perfect vacation weather. It's like open-toed shoes, a little bit hot, not too hot. Like, it's just great. So the dark news is, so inflation's still bad.
Dark news.
So inflation report came out, the consumer price index came out, and it's like, yeah, it's still bad. I'm like, okay.
But I was talking to somebody else, like this guy from work who's like, you know, he's a bit of an apologist for the current administration.
Yeah.
And I don't get into it with him because he's not fun to talk to.
What's
about
the point?
It.
But, yeah.
But he's talking about like, you know, the economy's good, the economy's this. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know that that's the experience that you're having. And he goes, that's true. And I'm like, it's not the experience I'm having. And I don't think it's like, it doesn't match up. Like these numbers that you're supposed to look at and say, yes, everything's great.
But inflation's still bad. Like, that's right. What I'm saying.
It's, like, it's still hard to go. It's still hard. Like, I don't like to eat out. I don't because it's too expensive. I went to a brand new restaurant the other day, one of a burger place here in town that a friend of ours opened. Well, a friend, it was a kid on the baseball team's parents opened. So we thought we'd go and they gave us free fries and you know, we went. It's a burger joint. And all I could think of was, holy crap. Like these burgers are $9 to $12.
No, yesterday I went and got a kebab plate at Sam's Flaming Grill, whatever.
Yeah.
And which, by the way, I want to tell a quick story about that. I keep having super weird experiences at this place that I'm like, never going back. So it's over by Jersey Mike's, over by AutoZone and Walgreens.
Okay.
So it's right there. Okay. So anyway, this is a chain. I've been to this place before and I got the kebab plate and I'm like, hey, but I walk in there, dude. Okay. it's empty. And then there's a guy behind the counter, like this super burly, I don't know if Sam's is Turkish or Armenian or some big dude from somewhere else.
Right.
With a super broken egg. And he's like, what would you like, sir? You know, and I'm like, okay. And then he has a super burly brother, cousin, friend sitting across the way.
Right.
Like big, big dudes, just me and them in this place. And the temperature in that place, I mean, it might have been 58 degrees. It was like a, refrigerator car. Like, it was so cold. Okay, this is how cold it was. So then I went to order, and I went and stood out on the sidewalk while my order was being cooked because it was so cold.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how cold it was. All right. But anyway, and I'm like, I'm never going to this place again because I kind of got surly. Did one of those things where the guy was working the cash register, so he wouldn't make eye contact with me while I was talking. Like, I'm the only person in this whole room. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just look at me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's kind of surly, and it was freezing. And I'm like, and their sides aren't good. I'm like, I'm not coming here again. This is it. I'm out. And then got the plate. And then I took a bite of that kebab meat. I'm like, I am coming back here, man. Like, I don't know what it is, but they have unlocked kebabs in Los Angeles, man. They are so soft and so tender and so delicious.
I like shawarma, like Zanku chicken.
Shawarma. I had shawarma there. It wasn't great, but their kebabs were great. Okay, but coming to your point, what did I pay for a kebab plate when I first moved to LA 8 years ago?
$8 maybe.
Eight, yeah. Right? And then it was like 10. And I'm like, well, okay, 10. Dude, it was $16.99 for a kebab plate. Like, people are like, what's a kebab plate? It's like, all right, it's like a kebab. So like a pile of meat, right?
Right.
On rice. Then there was like a sorry sad lettuce situation and some pretty good hummus.
Right.
And then like some super thin flatbread. And that's it. And I'm like, $16. So... And I'm like, it's all margin. They're getting rich off of me. But then I'm like, they're actually not, man. That's inflation. Because beef prices are through the roof. So, you know.
Yeah, commodity prices are just nuts.
Legit steak, man. So, anyway.
Commodity prices. But did you see the head of In-N-Out? And she had an interview recently.
I didn't see the interview. I saw that she did one.
I'm not raising prices. But they don't have to raise prices because they were already ahead of... if you're not familiar with California... had a new law go into effect this month?
Yeah.
Which was, if you have a fast food restaurant with more than 40 locations and you don't bake bread, then you have to pay... Did you know that?
I heard that ended up being a rumor. Is that real?
It's real.
That's hilarious.
Wait, now that you say it might be a rumor, I heard it was real.
Well, because it came a huge scuttlebutt. Because Panera was friends with Gavin Newsom.
It's not Panera. It's like the franchise owner for California for Panera.
Yeah.
He's friends with Gavin Newsom. Yeah, no, it's
and
a real
they,
thing.
Then they came out like, no, that's not true. And then that's
they're
as
not
far
friends?
As I got. That's as far as I got.
That they're not friends?
That's a part of the law. Because, I mean, isn't that... Never mind.
Whatever.
Keep telling
your story. So, yeah, it's $20 an hour. And so you have this huge problem, right? There's been several Foster Freezes, which is a ice cream burger place here in California.
Which is
closed.
Old and kind of dated.
Yeah, it is old and kind of dated. But they closed, you know, there's a bunch of them. Things are just closing their doors. They're like, you know, we've had four or five different
because
things
Because you're
in
not going to pay... $15 for a Foster's Freeze hamburger. You're just not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So even McDonald's, I don't even go to McDonald's anymore. It used to be McDonald's was like at least the moderately priced version of stuff.
Man, we're eating off the dollar menu at McDonald's. We get a McDouble and it's $3.50.
There's no dollar menu left. It's a $4 menu.
I know, man.
It's so nuts. But we've already talked about this before. But California. So, but what you call it? What are we talking about? The burger chain is In-N-Out. They've been paying more than $20 an hour for a long time. Did you know that?
They've been paying. They are
like the best paid fast food places, and they always have a ton of people in there.
I knew that they paid more because I know that it's like a prime. It's like prime. People are like, I won't work McDonald's, but I'll work at that place. Why?
Because people love
like,
it.
I heard like the general manager of In-N-Out makes like $200,000 a year. The general
of like one
of one
location,
one and out.
Dude, I don't know if that's true or not, but I wouldn't doubt it. But the reason why they're able to keep the prices the same is because they have vertical all their whole supply chain. They control the supply chain from the beef farm to the to the trucking company. So they're not paying all, you know, all the little pieces along the way. So yeah, so In-N-Out's going to stay the same. You can still go to In-N-Out and get a, you know,
that's
value
a, that's
menu
a heck of a moat. That's a heck of a moat right now. If their moat is, we don't have to raise prices and we aren't paying people more in this day and age. That's a moat, man.
But
people can't compete with that.
But they are paying more.
No, but my point is, I'm saying that
they didn't have to raise it.
Competitors are in trouble.
Yeah.
Because if I can get a double-double for $5.25 instead of $15 for a hamburger at Brick, which is a good artisanal burger place on Lyons, $15.
Yeah.
I'm going to In-N-Out, man.
Like, I'm kind of done with. I'm over these $9 burgers.
Yeah. All right.
I remember a $5 burger was shocking to me at one point.
Okay, convertibles open. Inflation's still bad. Iran apparently is going to launch an actual attack instead of a proxy attack on Israel. I can't imagine that's a good idea.
I don't understand what's going on. Like, I'm trying to understand. Like, I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt to the administration that they're not trying to kill us.
It must be that they're perceiving weakness from the U.S., because why else would you do it?
Yeah, but, dude, they're doing weird stuff. Like, they made him pull back out of they made him pull back out of that town in Gaza. And I don't understand there's a couple of things we're doing. We just announced that, okay, Ukraine's going to go into NATO. Well, that's like the red line that Russia's throwing out there. And we're trying to make Israel pull back and do a ceasefire. And we're all over the what are they called? The Houthis or Hutus?
Houthis.
The Houthis that are attacking us. You know, it's like, I don't understand. I want to give the benefit of the doubt. Look, I'm not a fan of the president.
But you're a fan of America.
Yeah.
So you want to believe that we're doing something, right?
Yeah. I mean, even with a president that I don't agree with, I think we can normally do, for the most part, the right thing. But this doesn't feel right. Something's wrong.
Something's super wrong. Like, we know the reason why he is giving lip service to Hamas in the U.S. The reason is because he is threatening to lose Michigan because there's a bunch of Middle Eastern voters in Michigan who are pro-Hamas.
Yeah, but
that's the reason why.
Okay, but that's... they're putting that forward. Is it true?
100%. 100%. Because he started out stridently in favor of Israel, and then... Then the leftists in his party, who completely believe the terrorist propaganda for some crazy reason, are dragging down his poll numbers, and then he started getting really, really...
I could see that. I guess
that's for sure true. That's happening.
Losing the Jewish vote, right, is basically means you're going to have a problem in Florida, which he probably will lose anyway.
And New York,
which he'll get, and California, which he'll get. So I guess he's looking at it and saying, "Well, Michigan, if I can pander to this pro."
That's the idea. That's what's happening. He's doing a terrible job of it. Okay, but even then, you can imagine him trying to. Him and ha around that. But now we're past that. Now he's actually telling Israel to not invade the terrorist enclaves in Gaza.
The last town.
The last terrorist enclave in Gaza. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, I don't understand. And now, okay, so seriously, what happens? Like, if Iran is like, oh, cool, we should invade now because Israel's in trouble. Are we going to let Iran overrun Israel? I don't think so. So does that mean we're at war with Iran? I mean, and by the way,
well, I mean, they have to.
If
do
we
it,
are,
they're saber rattling. First of all,
but if
I
we
mean,
are, we better just run right through it and just be, we have to depose all these a-holes that have subjugated women there for the last 50 years and just be like, yeah, you don't get to be in charge anymore. Like I don't, but we won't. We'll lob like 5 missiles and we'll blow up some guy's car and then that'll be it because we're cowards. Anyway. I know that Trump's flawed, and according to the headlines, he's going to get, you know, convicted of some crime. But boy, I would love to have someone in the Middle East be scared of America right now. That would be nice.
It would be nice.
You know what I mean?
It would be
real nice.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried. I'm trying not to think about it too much because it's a bit of it's disconcerting.
Well, it's weird. Okay, so that's happening. Then on the other side. There are things happening in technology that could literally, so people are saying that the gold rush of AI right now is not fake but real. and that it, that what we might be experiencing in the next 10 years, it will be the like akin to the Industrial Revolution. Like, it could be that disruptive. And I kind of believe it. And so I'm like, it's so weird to me that this great chaos is threatening to happen at the exact same time that some of the greatest affirmative change in the history of the country could happen in the next 10 years. I'm kind of excited about it. So I don't know.
It is exciting. AI is an interesting, I don't have a good enough sense for it. I think on one side of me, you know, I've watched Terminator, I've watched The Matrix, I've watched, you know, I've watched a lot of those dystopian,
dark times in the future.
Or even if you know anything about the backstory of Dune.
I don't think computers are taking over. I just think that it's going to give human beings tools to know things and to make things faster than ever before. And that's fascinating. That's interesting. And it's good. It's objectively good to know things and to make things faster than before.
I agree.
Good. Did you see the AI that came out this week that makes songs?
No.
Oh, well, William.
We had the one that you played that one time where it was...
Straight Out of Compton. Yeah. From okay. So here's... This is going to blow your mind. Okay. So the big thing with the AI is like, yes, but can it make stuff that sounds convincing and real that's not... that's... Okay. I'm just going to skipping it here. Right. So the prompt for this song was, make me a Dune the Broadway musical song. Dune, the Broadway musical song. So those of you who've seen Dune, this will be funnier. But to everybody, you're going to be like, that's a made-up song. But this is all AI, according to the website that made this AI. And it's going around the internet like crazy. Okay.
What? That's real?
That's real. That's AI, dude. And you're like, oh, but, okay, that's one example. Like, no, man.
No wonder.
No. Like, this is a song that they made that's making fun of Trump. And I won't tell you how it makes fun of Trump because I just want you to hear the music. Because the music is good, dude. This is a country song. AI.
Interesting.
Tell me that doesn't sound like a real country song.
It sounds like George Strait or something.
Yeah. All right, so then there's one more, because you're like, okay, they can do dumb pop music, but can they do this?
Dude, I'm in shock.
Yeah, yes, it's shocking.
I don't understand. Like, this doesn't actually excite me. It frightens me because I feel like artistry shouldn't be a computer thing.
Yeah, you do. And yet, it is. It is. To my dad, who's probably listening, you're like, but can they do Barbershop? How I've adored that sign on my car's window pane. It's called Baby on Board. Almost done. I'm telling you, it's my
Jeez.
This is AI music?
Oh, that's so terrifying. I'm sorry.
So anyway, the company that makes that, this is, came out 2 or 3 days ago, and you can go sign up and do your own tests. And somebody was browsing the channels, and they found some guy who'd made 4 different songs about how his colleague, Steve, had pooped his pants at work. And it was really funny. Anyway, so dude, AI is going to get good. So it's going to be easier. So if you just listen to that. So now right. You know that I can now go make a movie.
Right.
And when I need music, instead of going to a needle drop shop, which by the way, like RIP to our friends who work, we have like 2 or 3 friends that have these music library companies that license music, right?
Right.
Now I can just go to this place, type in a prompt and be like, I want there to be a funny song during this automobile sequence where we joke about baby on board, and it should be in old-timey music in the style of the 50s, reflecting on a more ideal time. And I'm like, boom, this is going to kick this out. I'm going to drop it in my movie, and I just did it, and it took me 10 minutes. That's crazy.
Dude.
Oh, it's dude. Good, man.
The artists, no wonder the whole industry is upside down. For the movie industry is upside down about AI. They probably saw it coming. Well, I know they've been using
the movie studios pushed back pretty hard on because they're like, you can't use AI. And the movie studios are like, they negotiated something where they can experiment with it or something like that. And the contract is short enough that they're gonna for sure use AI, guys. They're for sure gonna use it because it's that'd be like saying you can't use a synthesizer to make music. Yeah, you can. Like, of course you can. It's the tool. Okay, so I want to introduce one more thing.
Yes. No,
this is fascinating because I find this fascinating. Okay, I think it's weird that in the world, in physics and in society and in the world, I think it's weird that there's always game balance. And there's game balance right now in AI. There's a couple of massive... So with all this new innovation...
What do you mean by game balance?
There's massive constraints. I'm glad you asked. I looked it up while we were talking. So it is game balance. I make video games. So game balance is generally understood as introducing a level of fairness for the players. This includes adjusting difficulty, win-loss conditions, game states, economy balancing, and so on to work in tandem with each other. The concept of game balance depends on each game genre. Okay.
That makes sense. Kay. Like your dumb game, I got stuck on level 119 for a week and a half almost.
There you go. Okay, so game balance. Which means that, okay, if I made that game, the game that you're playing right now, and I made it so every time you open a level and you move one move and then you've just beat the level.
Right.
Would you play that game?
No. It's too easy. Too easy.
Right. If I made it so that every level took a week, would you play that game?
No.
No. It's too hard.
Right.
So you have to balance it such that people will try and they'll continue to try. But they'll feel like they've done something when they succeed.
Got it.
It's game balance.
Got it. Makes sense.
I think it's weird. If I've never seen a more consistent example of game balance than everything that happens on Earth. And I feel like it's a creation of God. And I don't understand how it can be this good at it. But we're introducing AI. AI is incredibly powerful. It can write things now. And apparently it can make music now. It can make little video clips now. It can make images, right?
Right.
But... it consumes a crazy amount of electricity, a crazy amount, such that people, if we keep accelerating the rate we're going, in a few years, 20 to 30% of the electricity in the electrical grid will be
30%
of AI. Yes. Okay. So like I read this tweet the other day where someone from Microsoft was complaining about how hard it is to integrate AI data centers that are distributed all around the United States. And someone said, why don't you just co-locate them all in the same state? He said, because it would collapse the power grid.
What?
So there's game balance already. So AI can do all this crazy stuff. And oh, by the way, it actually costs hard dollar electricity to do. And so these AI companies are charging, they're selling people tokens, and people spend tokens to get them to do things.
Right. So that they can pay for their electricity.
Yep.
That's interesting because I remember
game balance,
we had a tenant one time who for some reason we had gone in and inspect something, and we heard this humming, and they were running Bitcoin mining.
Oh, they were mining crypto.
Yeah. And so we went back totally to our electric bill.
Yeah.
Dude, it was nuts.
Yeah.
It was actually crazy. And it's
like thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah. Over a year. But they did not have a lot of the machines. They just had a few.
Right.
And so I know, so that's interesting. I wonder if it forces different electrical policies by municipalities and by states, et cetera, and so forth.
Well, so this is where the game balance is interesting. So now because people are going to demand AI. They're going to demand it because the nation's enemies are going to do it. So if we don't produce electricity and produce the AI here, we're going to go overseas. Because the last mile, just to be clear, it doesn't make your computer work harder. It doesn't make my computer work harder. It makes these servers that are off-site work harder. Right? So all I need is an internet connection. I can get my AI from wherever. I can get it from India. I can get it from China. And the people that produce electricity cheapest are going to win. And that's going to mean that we're going to be like, do we want this? We better. So let's go get serious about producing electricity cheaper.
So didn't Bill Gates, hasn't he invested a ton of money into nuclear war or power?
He's pushing really hard for the next stage of nuclear power. Yes.
Interesting.
And that's the only thing that can save us.
Do you think he knew AI was coming? He's going to consume all that stuff or no?
Well, he's a futurist generally. So, I mean, he's probably on record saying that.
I hate that guy. I think he's a dirtbag,
I hate that guy, but that's interesting.
Oh, I don't. I think he's not.
A lot of people that we read, a lot of people read think that he's Islamball. So AI is coming. It's making cool music, and it's going to cost a lot of electricity, and we have to make more electricity. That's happening.
I'm with it. So we're going to reduce the amount we're doing with our light bulbs, and then we're going to give it all to AI.
But I'll give you another AI thing that's just fascinating to me. Okay, so there are things called computer programmers. There are people that are called computer programmers. And there's all, in the same way that you might know somebody that's learned a foreign language, and you could tell they're not very good at it. And there's other people that learn a foreign language that are like, dang.
They're great.
That person's fluent, and people totally get it, right? That in that same way, there are people that are really good at coding, and there are people that just fumble through it. Okay? I'm telling you this, and the people that are really, really good, they have a phrase for them. They call them 10x engineers.
Right.
Because they can literally do the work of 10 other people. And I actually work with one right now. It's
my brother-in-law is one. They actually fired like almost everybody around him.
It's a sight to behold.
Yeah.
Like this guy is like, hey, I told him about a problem yesterday, and then like today he's like, I'm like, so when are you going to get a chance to? He's like, I already did it. I did it last night. I'm like, okay. So anyway, Microsoft has released a product to go along with their software development suite called Copilot. And they did a test with Copilot, and it's an AI-driven. Basically, it means like you get to rely on AI to help you code. And they tested it, and the engineers all got 60 to 70% more effective.
Dude, can it start coding for itself though? Doesn't
yes.
That, like, I'm sorry. Like,
yes.
I've watched all these movies, and I'm thinking to myself, they're taking over.
No, in the guy who's making the chips for NVIDIA, that CEO who I for some reason I always forget his name right before the podcast, that guy that we talked about last week, he's in an interview. He's just like yeah, don't tell your kids not to learn how to code. Like, it won't matter. It's like they're going to be able to build things without learning how to code in their generation. Like, learning to code is irrelevant. That's what he said. Because now you're just going to be able to go to a computer and be like, I'd like to make a mobile app, like Android or iOS. Both. Done. What do you want it to do? I want it to be called this. Done. Okay. I want to make a cool icon for the first letter of the name of the app, like letter Q. Done. Here's 10 icons. Which one would you like? This one. Great. What do you want the app to do? And I'm going to be able to doodle on a screen. And it's going to be like, done. And I'm like, I want it to be secure. I'm like, okay, introduce SSL. Done. I want it to be unhackable. Done.
Okay, we don't have cameras, but I'm just like, my jaw's on the ground. I'm like, what is...
Think about it.
This is earth-shattering, changing
it's
things.
This is industrial revolution level events. If you, William... Because you already have an idea for like three apps. I know you do.
Right.
If you, William, can go home on your computer... and log into India because we won't get our electricity fast enough here in the United States, and make your app. Like, can you imagine like the explosion of creativity that's coming our way?
Yeah, but what? What happens with the disruption? What happens with the code? Like, if you go to anybody can make anything.
If anyone can make a classical song like that, then why would anyone make one? Like, that's the next level. I can't even anticipate it, William. I can't even anticipate what happens when everybody has their own app. This is the Randy Davis app, and like, oh, I would use your app, but I've got my own app. I got the William Everett app.
I don't know. Some part of me is like, well, maybe I'll be dead before all this stuff happens.
I don't know what happens next. I mean, like, the human being craves being able to understand everything. So in our minds, what happens next is the apocalypse, and we go back to sticks and stones because we can understand it.
Right.
That's where it goes. And that's why all literature does this. That's why all film does this. We all are like, what happens when the robots take over? Like, everybody dies. Why? Because I can't understand what else had happened. Because I can't understand it. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. It could just be everything gets way better.
For a while.
It could just be everything gets way better. Like, what do you have? I have all my time now to help the suffering. Oh, suffering's been fixed. This robot goes and feeds all these people that are broke. Well, I'm going to go help bathe that drug addict. Oh, we fixed that. AI devised this thing that counteracts all drug addiction, and with one pill, everyone's cured. It's like, what if it just gets better? Now, then you're like, Randy, that's a world without game balance. It's true. I actually think that game balance will be introduced. It always is. But I don't know what it looks like.
Well, evidently, electricity is the first one.
Electricity is the first one. But look, here's the thing. The balance is that deficit exists. The balance isn't that it can't be fixed. The last round of NVIDIA chips use a 30x less electricity, something crazy. So they're going to beat that back down. See what I'm saying? It's just so weird, man. We don't know what's coming.
We don't know what's coming. I'm a little afraid.
Yeah. Because you and me can't understand a world that goes that fast.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, so if you're saying don't learn coding, right, because it's going to be able to do it, what about engineering?
What about math?
Like, if AI can do it all, right,
I don't know.
What do you teach him in school?
Could Randy Davis, okay, so I'm vaguely mechanical. I understand things mechanically.
Right.
And I understand things mechanically well enough that I'm able to talk to engineers about our code in a roundabout way so that I can actually manage this team even though I can't code, okay? And I have to make them explain it to me like a child. I'm like, wait, I'm like, so if it does this, this happens, but if it does that, that happens? Yeah. Our choices between this and that? Yeah, okay, I choose that. Like, that's how I talk to people at work, right?
Right.
I don't actually understand how they code. But, and every once in a while, they'll have to go a little deeper. Like, no, because when you do this, it throws this error, which causes this failure. And I'm like, okay, then I choose that. Anyway, but if I don't have to understand engineering, maybe I'm a genius chip engineer that just never went to engineering school. Maybe I could be like, what happens if you move this over there? And I'm like, I don't know, let's build one, see. Hey, that works great. Like, what if there is such a thing as the judgment layer that doesn't require any expertise, which is currently not the case?
Yeah, but what if that's true? Like, what do you tell your kids to study in school? Like, okay, don't do coding because, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can see it coding, but what about engineering?
Like, it's true that...
What about bioengineering? What about,
I think bioengineering is a huge target because there are chaos markers in biology that don't exist in engineering. Like, engineering was built by men and therefore is derivative of base 10 numbers, right?
Right.
Biology was built by God and it's next level stuff and we're barely figuring it out. But if we can start feeding data into these gigantic models that can figure things out, what do you mean when you say figure things out? Here's an example of what I mean. Somebody spent some tokens just as an experiment and they said, I want you to read all the Harry Potter novels at once and map out how the characters interact with each other. Go. And it was like, bleh.
What?
That's how fast it went. And they have a map of all the characters from Harry Potter, that because it could read it immediately.
What?
So, I don't like. That's wild. Now there's a rebalance. He had to pay for those tokens. He had to pay money for the electricity and the server time to run that query, but it did it.
This is not a happy thing for me.
Why?
Because I don't see like to me it's too dystopian. Like what? So what's the utility of man? What's the utility of what we have? Like without religion, I guess, and without understanding like what your real utility is. But well, like what do you send your kid to school to? Like my son already tells me he's like, you know, math, he likes math, but he's like, I don't understand why we can't use a calculator. The calculator does it for me. Right. So why wouldn't I just use a calculator? Well, isn't it the same argument? It's like, why would I need to know math? Why would I need a complex math?
For me, like, it's always that, hey, like the machines are going to break someday. Like, and we need someone to know math.
Yeah, but physics level. So someone needs to know how to build it. But what if they don't know how to build, need to know how to build it? What if they just need to query it?
I don't know, man. I don't know where it goes. It's moving at a rate that's hard to even explain. That thing, this music thing that I just played for everyone that everyone got to listen to, 4 days ago, everyone thought it was impossible. They thought it was impossible. They're like, no, it'll never sound like real music. It'll never sound appealing. Because those songs were interesting, not just because they were well done, but because they're actually good.
Yeah, they were catchy.
They're good. They're catchy. So what happens 4 days from now? And then now people are joking about it, and by next week there'll be a new thing. The rate of change, it's funny, we set ourselves up for this, William, because we experience the world through digital. We've already said this.
Right.
You're looking at a glowing screen. You and I have two laptops open right now.
Right.
And we're looking at glowing screens. Because we experience it digital, and AI can 100% make things digital, we've made it so that the rate of change in our lives now can be just crazy. I don't even know. So what should we tell our kids to do?
There's William, some part of it.
William,
super
it's
exciting.
Not up to you. I currently don't tell my kids what to do.
Yeah.
They get to decide. I did tell my son Lucas, who is studying graphic design, which is to design things that the world will experience through a glowing screen. I did say he was asking me advice, this, that, and the other, and I'm like, look, I don't know the answers to those questions, son, but I do know this for sure. If anybody graduates from your program and understands AI design tools better than you, you have failed. I'm like, you must know. And if you need another $70 a month or $100 a month to license all these design tools and use them, like, ask me, I will pay it, because that will for sure be where your business is going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Especially that business.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's exciting and all the cool things it's going to be able to do for sure. I think it's also a little bit of an upside down thing, right? Because we're actually experiencing it on the consumer level before you're going to be able to consume it on the enterprise level.
Yeah, it hasn't even been productized yet. You're right.
Like they don't quite know what to do with it.
Right. Like we've made it into toys before they've made it into products.
Right.
That's really true. And I think I actually think that's the next point of game balance. Cause my son Jonah was saying, oh wow, your games is gonna be really impacted by AI. My son Jonah, who's 11 or 12, said that. And I'm like, it will be, but not right away. I'm like, why? Cause even though AI can touch all the pieces of the game that I'm making, to know what to make and to stitch it all together and to, you know what I mean? Like there's still a lot of steps before it could do all those things.
Right.
But they will get done. Like those steps will get done.
Yeah, you got to know what to query and then query what you got to know how to put the queries together. Yeah, it's, well, I'm at a strange point of excitement and dread. I had actually a student in one of my classes, and he was I asked a question, and he was spitting off the answer, and I'm like, you could tell it was an AI answer. I'm like, where did you get that? And there's a chat bot for the church. And he was querying it.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of this.
Yeah.
I should ask
Well,
him what
similarly,
it is.
Like early on, I'm trying to find it right now. Someone asked ChatGPT to write a Book of Mormon, a fake Book of Mormon story in the style of the Book of Mormon that was presumably from the lost plates, from the lost pages of the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, man, when you read that thing, it read like it was, I don't want to say it's like I knew it was satire and I had a huge wall that I wasn't going to let myself go over, but it was good, man. It was good writing. It was like, it was inspiring. It was an inspiring story. It was like uplifting. Like, what does that mean?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, we've been warned over and over again that in the future, it's going to be difficult to understand what's real, and what's not real.
Yeah.
So maybe that's all part of it. It's all part of it. Well, what else is exciting and happening out there besides AI taking over our world? And
all right. Yeah, I didn't want to.
You know what I'm watching? I accidentally watched yesterday. My son was at baseball, and I'm like sitting in the car. And it was one of those places where it's far enough away that if I actually drove home and then drove back, that it's, you know, I drive home for 15 minutes and then drive back, you know. So it was like, I might as well just stay here. So I just stayed there. I put the Netflix on, and I'm like, oh, what? And Hunger Games popped up.
Okay.
I thought I'd watched all the movies. I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
I bet you did. I bet you just forgot.
No, I mean, because I remember the first one, and then, but I don't remember the second one. So I watched the second one yesterday, and I was like, oh, yeah. Huh. That's a pretty decent movie.
Dude. Yesterday, O.J. Simpson.
Oh, the gentleman's. Wait, you, last time we were, you put. We had. Well, I guess my question is there anything out there that's worth watching?
Nope. There's
yeah,
not.
If I'm recycling into Hunger Games, I guess that answered my own question.
There isn't.
What about that new? Have you watched? When's that new one?
We had listeners who texted me to say that they went and listened to that book that I recommended on a road trip, and they really liked it. So that's kind of fun. Anxious people.
Anxious people.
Yeah.
Have you heard the book Grit?
No.
Oh, somebody else just told me I should read that one. Another listener.
All right.
Casual listener.
Hey, O.J. Simpson died yesterday. I bring that up only to say the one of the great...
What a weird thing, dude. What a weird... I mean, for some reason, I find this all the reaction of O.J. Simpson is massively surreal, like strange.
It's weird.
My wife did send me a meme.
I was going to say, the good thing coming out of it are the O.J. Simpson memes that are coming out.
Yeah.
So tell me, you want to tell me your wife? Well, I want to tell you the one
my wife sent me a meme... I think she sent it to like our family thread, and my kids are like, I don't get it. But it's a stretch.
It's a stretch Bronco hearse. Yes. Going down the 405 with cops behind it, right?
That's right.
That was one. Okay, so
my daughter goes, I don't get it. She said, no, actually, she goes, I've never not understood something more in my life. I do not know what you're talking about. Like, so I sent her the YouTube clip of the. Slow.
Do you know that our mutual friend was in the cops procession behind him?
No.
Lamprey.
Was he really?
Was in the car behind O.J. Simpson during that whole thing.
Oh, jeepers.
Okay, so here's the meme I brought it up simply for the memes. This is from Babylon Bee yesterday. O.J. Simpson excited for God to tell him who the real killer was.
Whose bloods they really were?
Yeah, exactly. Jeez.
For you people that are too young to know this, O.J. Simpson was accused of killing his ex-wife and her friend, just a friend.
Yeah.
And he was arrested, and then he was tried. The Kardashian. This is how we'll put it into.
There's amount of evidence.
Yeah, but we'll
that
put this
it,
into
a couple of
to terms you can understand. The reason the Kardashians are even a blip on our screen at this moment is because the Kardashian father, Mr. Kardashian, was one of the defense attorneys, and they were famously got OJ off. So much so that it was some of the things were comical. Like, they had the gloves, the bloody gloves that were OJ's gloves, and they said, those aren't OJ's gloves. And they're like, no, we, you know, they were found in his house. There was this, yeah, but those aren't his gloves. He's going to try them on. Well, anyone that knows anything about leather is if they get wet with any wet substance, blood included, it's going to shrink. So he puts on latex gloves and then tries to
and they makes his hand as big as he can.
This was televised, people. He puts them on and he's like looking like, this don't fit. And then his attorney famously said, if the gloves don't fit, you must acquit. And he got off. Then karma caught up with him, and he got busted for threatening someone for selling like his likeness.
It wasn't karma. The cops were mad that he got off, and they chased him around until they found him committed.
We went to prison for it.
I know. I don't believe that was a karmic retribution. I believe that was cops.
I don't believe in karma in general. I just, you know.
Sorry, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad.
Yeah. You think he did it?
Do I think he did it?
Killed his ex-wife?
100%.
Oh, I'm like, well, then why do I care if he went to jail for threatening and kidnapping someone versus...
I'm not going to get into it.
murder.
Not going to get into it. Well, friends, this has been an episode of the WayStation Podcast. The future is upon us, and we have a red pill, blue pill. We can choose doom and infighting and backbiting, or we can take these amazing tools and build some beautiful things.
Which one's which? Which pill should I take?
I don't know.
Or ask the AI.
Ask the AI and just do what it says.
All right, Randy. Have a great day.
Thanks, friends. Have a great day.